You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
My sermon today is entitled The Hero Who Liked Carrots. And I realize now that since the Cliffords have been here, you've heard of Peter Pan and now you're hearing of Peter Rabbit. But the Cliffords do read other things besides children's books. My purpose today is to celebrate the richness of our Unitarian heritage, to recognize how Unitarian women in particular helped to break the chains of conventions, limiting options for creativity, work, and citizenship, and to offer three examples as female Unitarian writers who impacted society as they wrote about their values and experiences. Our Unitarian traditional optimism hasn't always reflected the difficulties involved in change, and it is women writers who have expressed the realism needed to balance the idealism of some prominent men. Every time I do more reading and research 1866, she spent many of her early holidays in Scotland, but is widely known for her connection with the English Lake District. If any of you travel to the UK, I heartily recommend a brief stay there. I speak, of course, of Beatrix Potter. Presumably, Beatrix, as a country person and even a farmer, liked carrots. But the sermon refers to our most widely known character, Peter Rabbit, who leads the fight against Farmer McGregor, who has the audacity to consider his vegetable patch out of bounds for Peter and his friends. By the way, the film Peter Rabbit is now showing in cinemas, and I very much recommend it, even if you don't have any grandchildren to take. Beatrix first wrote about him in letters to friends' children in Scotland in the 1890s. And finally reached publication in our first children's book, illustrated by herself in 1902, The Centre of Textile Manufacturing. It is believed that Beatrix took after her paternal grandfather, Edmund Potter, in artistic talents and business acumen. He was born in 1802 and was baptised at Cross Street Chapel, a Unitarian chapel already at the forefront of the dissenting community. I've been to the modern Cross Street Chapel on the same site, a short walk from Manchester's civic and commercial centre. Elizabeth Gaskell, wife of William Gaskell, the minister of Cross Street for over 50 years, and tried to do well for his workers. Elizabeth is our second Unitarian woman author. William Gaskell was innovative artistically and technologically. He was elected as a fellow of the Royal Society in the entrepreneurial or liberal values. Beatrix was a lonely child. Her only brother was usually away in boarding school, and she was educated at home by well-qualified governesses. Based in London, the family had frequent holidays, first in Scotland, then in the English Lake District. She would be a significant figure in a heritage just for our children's book, but she brings to us a very varied life with many accomplishments. Her solace as a child was nature. She was a keen observer of animals and plants and a good artist. She kept pets and dreamed of being a scientist when she grew up. But women at that time had trouble being taken seriously, and it wasn't generally socially acceptable for a middle-class girl to have a job. Her parents were very concerned that she should grow up a proper young lady and marry well. For them, this included being well educated, but they did not encourage her artistic talents and love of nature. However, her keen attention to detail and ability to portray what she observed did come to the attention of some scientists, and she even submitted a society in 1897. This had to be presented by a male friend because women were not allowed in the society. She subsequently withdrew her paper because she realized that some of her sample fungi were contaminated. 100 years later, in 1997, the Linnean Society issued an apology for the sexism in the way she'd been treated. Occasional scientific recognition of ability did not constitute regular employment, which was what she wanted, and it turns out that her skills were marketable. Letters that she had written and illustrated to the children of her governess formed the basis of her attempts to actually publish, and in 1902, she had a breakthrough with her story about Peter Rabbit, our hero who loved carrots and had several adventures, trying to steal them from Farmer McGregor's vegetable garden along with other vegetables. Peter was mischievous, full of energy, from the usual moralizing framework that characterized children's stories of the day. Over the next few years, Peter was joined by several animals that wore clothes and lived in something similar to village houses. Piggy Bland, the Flopsy Bunnies, Jemima Puddle Duck, Squirrel Nutkin, Mr. Fox, and, of course, Mrs. Tiggy Winkle and her brood. She wrote over 20 children's books and illustrated them herself. There's a museum in the Lake District which our family has visited, where the characters are displayed larger than life. Her love of the natural world did not just provide images and themes for her children's book, however. She was deeply committed to protecting the natural environment and never lost her scientific eye. She bought property with the money her books brought and ran a farm with particular interest in Hardwick sheep, of which she was a recognized breeder. She almost married at the age of 39 against her parents' wishes, but her fiancé died of leukemia. 8 years later, she did marry a local solicitor, again against the wishes of her controlling parents, who expressed a worry over whether she would be able to look after them if she married. They shared a joint commitment to the welfare of the countryside, its plants, animals, and people. She was able to buy further farms and attempted to implement land conservation measures. She was a big supporter of the National Trust, leaving all her considerable property to the National Trust when she died in 1943. When one recalls how parents of that generation controlled their daughters, we can see that some progress has been made in 150 years. In fact, the modern proverb, "Be nice to your children, for they are the ones who will choose your nursing home," illustrates that it's no longer universal that daughters will be lumbered with this chore themselves. Our marriage in 1913 was to an Anglican, someone whose paternal line included several clergy. Beatrix was a Unitarian from a family of outstanding dissenters. But she had, in fact, become uncomfortable with any sort of organized religion, preferring a simple Quaker meeting. Though she remained a Unitarian without going to church. Independence of spirit in one major area of life often leads to the same spirit in other areas. I think being a Unitarian and having liberal views and open minds led to many Unitarian women pushing boundaries to fulfill their dreams and talents. Just in the field of writing, before Beatrix there was Elizabeth Gaskell, and after Beatrix there was Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Plath is most commonly thought of as someone married to Ted Hughes, the British poet laureate, and someone who committed suicide at a young age. Both of these things are true, but she was also a first-class poet and prose writer in her own right. Born in the United States in 1932 into a Unitarian family, she was in the Wellesley Hills, Massachusetts Unitarian Youth Group and even attended the Unitarian Youth Conference at Star Island in 1949. She showed literary skills at an early age, co-writing a youth's plea for world peace in 1950. In response to the prospect of a world war as the nuclear arms race got underway. She developed clinical depression and over the years tried to commit suicide, the first time in 1953. Treatment for clinical depression included the very painful electroconvulsive shock therapy as well as psychiatric counselling, about which she wrote in her only novel, which was titled The Bell Jar, published in 1963, shortly before her death. This semi-autobiographical novel showed the effects of mental breakdown and the isolation suffered in such illness, the distortion of reality and relationships, a subject that was not much openly talked about until very recently. Meantime, in 1956, she'd gone to Britain on a Fulbright scholarship, had met and married Ted Hughes in Cambridge. She described her Unitarianism as agnostic humanist and herself as a pagan Unitarian at best. And while she wrote to her mother that if she were back in Wellesley, she would be a Unitarian churchgoer, she did not see any options for her in London. She wrote poems, essays, and even books for children. A common theme in her poetry was her struggle for identity in an oppressive society, and after her death, she has been seen as an important feminist. Her books for children, however, take a very light-hearted tone. Sylvia is not known as a children's author because these books were published posthumously and the public image of her was coloured by her mental illness and suicide. So three Unitarian female authors connected with Britain, three women who had had hard lives in spite of being well off. Three women who looked closely at their world and wrote about it. Elizabeth Gaskell looked at the poverty of the early industrialization of our cities. Beatrice Potter looked at the natural world, the land, and the creatures. Sylvia Plath looked at a distressing, disturbing world and deep inner turmoils. We live in a world filled with creatures and other people. We live in a fragile world that is changing daily, often for the worse. We live in societies filled with people who suffer. Our Unitarian faith teaches us our responsibility to be part of this world and to work for its betterment. Of course, other religious groups do this too, but we have a different view of boundaries. We do not think that they were put there by God. Personally, Unitarianism has given me the opportunity to become a more confident person, sharing my views through public speaking. I have met Unitarians at international gatherings and seen how they put their faith to work. I have been to Transylvania, to the USA, to Germany, and heard about programs sponsored by Unitarians and the International Association of Liberal Religious Women, specifically to help girls and women learn skills, self-worth and creativity, bringing about a better quality of life for their families and their communities. You don't have to call yourself a feminist to be a Unitarian, but modern Unitarians share a vision of basic human equality that transcends conventional boundaries. In Scotland and in England, we were active in the struggle to bring about equal marriage. And here in Adelaide, we celebrate the recent change in Australia's marriage law with a banner outside the church proclaiming willingness to make the new law effective. And being committed to human worth and equality isn't only about social rights and civil liberties. It affects how we think and act on a range of issues, from climate change and fair trade to preserving our natural heritage. One of the reasons I keep hope for our Unitarian community, in spite of many disappointments, is this willingness to be at the boundaries, to support those who struggle, and a willingness to look hard for ways to help our planet and its living creatures. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.